Welcome to Deskmates, your Eurovision podcast. I'm Robbie, I'm your out-of-office host.
Oh, I'm Ken, and I'm obviously in the office. I'm the in-the-office host.
No, we're both out of office. We are now going to record three episodes back-to-back because it's Easter here in Europe.
True.
Well, it's Easter everywhere. But, okay, it's Easter everywhere, whether or not you celebrate it. We're going to be out of office.
Yes.
And so we are pre-recording and we'll be dropping these episodes one each week.
Exactly. And it's also that this is the first episode outside of Melodifestivalen. So we have been dropping two episodes a week, but that's a bit because we have had so much to talk about with Melodifestivalen and Eurovision. Now we're going down to a more sensible one episode a week. And to celebrate that, we're actually recording three episodes this week that you will be listening to. It will be this, which will be more of a normal Eurovision episode.
Yeah.
There will be a question and answering thing that we will do your next episode. And then there will be a special episode in 3 weeks from 2 weeks from this episode is dropped that I prepared for something secret.
And that's very exciting because Ken, I haven't been able to keep him quiet in the office because he keeps wanting to tell me what he's found, doing his deep dive into a particular topic, which we won't mention, we won't spoil it. But Ken is very excited about it. And so I'm very excited to hear what he's going to present to me. So this is a more normal episode, if such a thing exists. We're going to mop up all of the songs that are now come out in the last week or so since we last recorded. And we're going to talk about some changes to songs. So let's get started with some housekeeping, Ken, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. I have some housekeeping also.
Oh, do you want to go first?
No, it was more, I'm starting to listen to our own podcast now.
Is that your housekeeping?
We were talking about Herace last episode.
Yes.
And then we listened
to... Like every episode.
And then we listened to Australia and their Aboriginal sounds in their song. And I didn't do a didgeridoo joke. I mean, how could I miss that?
That's housekeeping.
I think that's like a... that joke has to be in there.
Right.
It's like we celebrate Herace this year.
Okay, so what we'd like people to do is to listen to this joke now and pretend we did it in the last
episode. Exactly, when we talked about Australia.
Yeah, Australia. Mm-hmm. So just to explain the joke, so people really, really get it, is the Herace did a song called...
Digaloo Digalay.
Digaloo Digalay.
They won with
and
that.
An Aboriginal instrument is called a...
Didgeridoo.
And so your joke is didgeridoo, didgeriday.
Didgelay.
Didgelay, sorry.
Maybe not as fun when you explained it.
Yeah. I wasn't that fun before. Anyway, that's a common thing, actually. Both of us will send WhatsApps the next day after an episode drops and we'll be like,
Yep.
Speaking of mistakes, so I was editing our last episode in which we talked about Portugal.
Yeah, sure.
And you mentioned Salvador Sobral.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, here's a man pouring out his heart, and quite literally his heart exploded. So I had to go and look into that because I didn't recognize the name. And 2017 was to explain, 2017 in when Eurovision happened, I was still living in the UK, but my then girlfriend, now wife, had moved back to Sweden, so there was no one forcing me to watch Eurovision.
I completely
missed it. Hmm. Now, I went and checked it out. I knew the song, but where did I know the song from, Ken?
No idea.
Fire Saga.
Yeah.
It's in the Fire Saga soundtrack. Sure. Mm-hmm. And maybe I will do a deep dive into Fire Saga because I love that movie. So I knew the song, but I didn't know where I knew it from. And to me, I thought it was just, it sounded like the Amelie soundtrack or Chocolat, you know what I mean? It was nice little songs. So anyway, I listened to it and I love the song, but I didn't know its history.
Yep.
So then I start reading about Salvador. And bear in mind, this is like midnight on a Monday night when I'm editing the episode and I've got a baby trying to sleep on me. And so I read the story and he had what they thought was going to be a fatal heart condition. And his sister wrote this song. She's a songwriter. Is it Luisa Sobral?
Luisa Sobral.
She wrote this song and I believe the English translation is I Will Love for Both of Us or something like that.
Yep.
And the idea was that he might die.
Yep.
So she wrote this song and he would sing it at Eurovision. And then it was like this nice thing. And as it happens, he got an operation. He survived. But in the final, which was in Ukraine in 2017, he won. And it looked very badly organized compared to modern standards because there was a little bit chaotic getting him up to the stage to say he won. But he was trying to tell them, can my sister sing with me? But they obviously weren't hearing him or anything. But anyway, he grabbed his sister and they sang it together. And here's me at like 12:30 crying my eyes out. It's like the most beautiful story and song. It's just incredible.
Yeah.
So if you're like me and you maybe missed that whole thing, I recommend going and checking it out because it's just a beautiful song.
Yeah, and he couldn't sing it on the rehearsals because he was so bad.
Yeah,
so
he was recovering from another operation.
He was singing in the semifinal and at the final.
Yeah, not his rehearsals. Yeah. His sister stood in for him. Yeah. And that was, you kind of mentioned it, that they hadn't won. They had the longest streak of not winning. So they competed from whatever year, 70, 60 something, whatever year, and they never won. And it was the longest unbroken non-winning streak for any country so far.
Mm.
And then they won in 2017, which was obviously a big deal. Mm. I just think we didn't give that enough because I didn't recognize the name.
So what is the longest competing country now that hasn't been winning? Give me a qualified guess.
Iceland.
No, not Iceland. Close. Iceland is second.
Okay.
So that's not it. Malta.
Wow. Okay. Yep.
Never won. Been there. They started before Iceland and then they took a break. So I don't know if they have had more appearance, whatever. But like, you understand what I mean?
Okay, sure. Okay, so I just wanted to bring that up. And also, it holds the record for the most points.
Yep.
758 points.
Yep. Crazy.
Incredible. Crazy. So check it out if you haven't already. Most people listen to this probably like, yeah, we know that song, idiot. Moving on. So, a little bit of housekeeping and updates. Now, if you check the official YouTube for Eurovision, or pretty much all of the official videos are either out or they're coming out over this week. So for a lot of them, you have the, if they had a qualifying process, they have the final, but now some of them recorded songs. So I'm just going to go through some of those, some highlights. Serbia, which I love the song, the Sad Girl song. The video's out. Video's brilliant. Very suitable for the sort of ballady Sad Girl song that it is. And nothing to make fun of. It's just good. However, Latvia, if you remember Latvia,
Dons. Mm, oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm. I'm going to show you the thumbnail now. I want you to say the first thing that comes to your mind, because I have something in mind.
Oh, Jesus, it looks like Dune.
Oh, I was going to say...
Oh, no, Gollum.
I was going to say Voldemort.
Oh, yeah. Or just a turtle.
Not a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
I just came out of Dune. I mean, all the baddies look like that.
Yeah, you just watched Dune. Yeah, with the white face. But no, that looks exactly like, was it Joseph Fiennes? Ralph Fiennes. Ralph Fiennes that plays.
Yes, Ralph Fiennes.
Ralph Fiennes.
Ralph Fiennes. Joseph Fiennes was in another movie.
He has his brother. Yeah.
In other movies.
It looks just like him in, Voldemort when he's shooting up the lights in the sky. No?
Yeah. I think you're more of the Harry Potter generation than I am. I read the books, but I was too old for the movies.
When I read the first book, I was like 11. So it was very suitable because that's how old Harry was.
Yeah. Or something.
Anyway, mm-hmm. not a flattering image either way if it looks
not
Gollum.
Flattering or, song.
Yeah. So, yeah. Other ones, Finland. Now here's irony.
Mm?
No rules. The video's out, censored.
Yeah, exactly. Because they can't
of
have
the Windows
logo.
95 logo. Mm.
Yeah. Can't do that in Eurovision, you know. Yeah. It's public broadcasters.
Well, that brings me on to our next question. Germany's video is out, and they've censored the word shit. Because he says, no one gives a shit about me. So they censored it. So I wanted to ask you, what are the rules about swearing?
Don't do it, okay. I would guess. I mean, I think it's different rules in different countries. So I think there's like a no swearing thing, but I think there have been swearing before.
There's a future.
That's a thing to dive into. Yeah,
yeah. Swearing.
Don't remember that.
Because if you swear in your own language, and we don't, you know.
Sweden won in 2017. Why we come back to that? That year we have in the chorus there was the line "fucking beautiful" that they had to take away before going to Eurovision. Mm-hmm. Couldn't sing that in Eurovision.
I don't know if we've talked about this before, but as a native English speaker living in Sweden, I find it incredible how liberally Swedes use English swear words because they don't mean anything to
exactly.
you guys. They're just other words.
So
I was in a Max Burger one time, and there's a guy who had a T-shirt, and at first you think it says FC UK, but it just said fuck all over the T-shirt, like 1,000 times, just said the word fuck. You wouldn't, yeah, anyway. And then the last one that's got the official video, but more than that, is Malta.
Yes.
So tell me what's happened with Malta, Ken.
And I mean, the same thing happened in Malta that happened to Albania, which we're also going to discuss this episode, and will happen to Czechia. We haven't checked out, but also will in this episode.
Terrible.
They are doing what's... I don't know why they call it revamps, but that's the word that the fans use, you know, the kids today. I have no idea. What's happening is they choose a song and you choose it home, and the contest isn't as big as Melodifestivalen or Sanremo and these kind of things. So it's, I mean, if you listen to the original version of Malta that we listened to a couple of episodes back, you listen to it now and you listen to the official version they're going to compete with, it's more like you listen to a demo. And then you listen to the final version. So they are, I mean, they could change song also. You can do whatever you like. I mean, it's what you send in the, but some countries, they pick the song and then they try to make it more competitive when it actually won. They don't put that money into it before it wins, but when it wins, they do, they try to do what they can. So in Malta's case, what they've done is they actually hired the Debs, Joy and Linnea Deb, Swedes, that wrote Marcus and Martinus' song.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so they sent it to them. So they have done, they redid it, like the production. I don't know if they've done anything with the lyrics also. Yeah, they just pimped it up, said like that.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, so they boost its confidence into something else.
Okay, because Malta, I remember 2022, Emma Muscat, she submitted originally a song and won the selection contest, but then that isn't the song. It wasn't revamped. It was a completely different song.
Yep, they're using that song. They can do. I mean, every country can do what they like. They can do however they like when they select the song. That's why some people do internally, blah blah blah. And in some countries, when they do this, I mean, sometimes just to feel okay, this was probably the right artist that we selected, but this song is not good enough to send to Eurovision.
Okay,
Albania, they have this old contest that when they select the song, so sometimes now they have changed it a bit, so they have one winner of the festival and one winner of what should we send to Eurovision. But even having that, they also redo the thing that they want to send to Eurovision. So they, we're going to hear it in a moment, they change language, for example, to do it in English instead of Albanian and things like that. So I mean, you can do whatever you like, and in some cases people are like screaming for, you need to redo this because we can't send it, it's too bad to send it to Eurovision. And sometimes it gets worse, sometimes it gets better.
Well, speaking of that then, Germany. So I did just a little cursory, I don't even know what I was doing. I was doing some research around the Eurovision Wiki, and I came across Germany 2016 as an interesting sort of case study. So my understanding is, and I really want your in-depth insight here, because obviously you know a lot more than I do on this subject, but Germany 2016, I understand that they selected an artist, but then due to public opinion, public outrage and backlash, they changed the artist.
Yeah.
So what's the story?
The story is longer than that, because it's, I think it has to do with the year before. In the beginning of 2010, they famously selected Lena, who won 2010.
Right. Yes.
And then the year after, she represented them again.
Right.
And that was just an internal pick. But then the year after that, they picked somebody with the selection process, blah, blah. And they did that for some years, like having a selection process. In 2015, the guy who won I think he had like, I haven't the figures in front of me, but I think it was over 75 or something percentage of the votes.
Right.
When he won, he said, okay, I don't want to do this. So he won, and they had done all this kind of final, and in the end, there were just two of them left, and he had got 75, and the woman that was second got 25. And then he just refused to go, so they had to pick her, and she came dead last. So I think broadcaster thought like, okay, next year we need to do something else. So they picked an artist internally, and like, here's a guy, we're going to just pick a song for him. But then he had done some very like controversial things, like he's been, I think it was homophobia, I don't know, racism, whatever. He had done something,
the good stuff,
and I don't know anything about that, if it was like something super in the past, and you know, or if it was something that he, whatever. But people were like, you can't do this, we want the contest. So then they did a contest anyway, which wasn't the intention from the beginning, and he wasn't in there. And then somebody won that contest, and she also ended up last, though. So, yeah, I mean, they haven't gone very well for Germany.
Mm. The reason why I thought I'd bring it up, and I didn't know about the racism or whatever, but Germany this year, there was a popular choice in the selection process, and he finished third. And we listened to that song, Robbie Williams-esque sort of song. And instead they chose Isaac with his Embers rendition. I just wondered where the German people are. Where's the outrage? Why can't they do it again?
I mean, I think they liked him. I mean, they picked him. So, I mean, they are behind Isaac, not behind the ones that all the fans wanted. So, I mean, they are satisfied until he ends last again.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. Shall we move on to new songs?
Sure.
I only live by one song, and that's new songs. That's terrible.
That's why I don't want to listen to Malta again.
Yeah. Moving on. Mm-hmm. Ken, let's go to Albania.
Oh, yeah, sure.
We are going to listen to their song that they've put out. I'm excited, and I'm very excited as a Nuevo Euro, because last year it was the biggest grower of the year, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's a song that I had the most vitriolic response to when I first heard it. I absolutely hated it. And by the time the final came, I was singing along, and I wouldn't say I liked it, but it had definitely grown on me. And that was Albina, and Familia Kelmendi.
Yeah.
So it was a whole family singing. And it's this really ballady kind of sad thing. And I thought it was, I thought based on the emotion without knowing Albanian, I thought that it was this really moving story. And then when the official video came out and I watched it with the subtitles, I think it's just about moving out of your family home. Your family moves house, and it's like, unless it's for terrible reasons, you're fleeing war or whatever, but it seemed to be just like, oh no, we're selling my childhood home, which to me was a traumatic experience when my parents sold my childhood home. But, that's a very first world problem. Anyway.
Not much to write a song about.
Anything else? No, exactly. Anything else to say about Albania?
In recent years, I never have much to say about Albania. They usually send like a woman that screams a lot.
You've said that a few times now. Yeah.
That's like my prejudice about them. My favorite Albanian song was in 2009 when Casey Tolas sang Carry Me in Your Dreams and had like two short people and one green gimp on stage. That's like one of the best ever things I've seen in this contest.
Okay.
So that I'm going to show you that at some point.
I'll check that out later. I don't think I'll be crying at 12:30 when I check that one out.
No, you won't. No, you won't. But that's like Albania when is it? That's what. Look, we can do an Albanian little deep dive at some point.
A mini dive.
Yep,
shallow dive. Just looking very quickly on the Wikipedia page, they either send Albanian or English. That's it. And it's pretty mixed, 50-50.
Yeah.
And this year it looks like it's English again. So
yeah, and it wasn't. I think I don't remember it. I mean, I saw this when it came out because they were quite early. They're usually around Christmas sometime. And I thought it was horrible but I thought it was not very worth remembering. Mm. So it's interesting to see what's become of it now, because as I understand, it's the same song, but with another production and another lyrics.
Right. Now, 2022 Albania was secret. That was the year that several videos looked like Game of Thrones adaptations. Mm. But that was the best one.
That was the best one.
It was so good. I mean, it was a terrible song. It grew on you a little bit over time, but man, it was a fun video. So now let's check out Bessa with the song Titan. You're so wrong, we'll go down.
Is that a dog? I mean, she's in a dog bowl.
She looks like she's in a dog food bowl.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So we're watching a live video. So again, reserve judgment till we see a live version of this. But in the music video, it's very highly well produced compared to some others. But it feels like almost like a parody, like she's tried to do other known videos. Like there was a little bit sort of Miley Cyrus, a little bit Ariana Grande.
Beyonce on the horse.
Beyonce, yeah. Oh, yeah, the horse thing. But then the sound was a bit more Shania Twain.
Sia.
I got a little bit of Sia in the beginning. Mm. Also a bit Missy Elliott somewhere in there.
It's a lot of things.
But overall, just very boring.
Yes.
Doesn't go anywhere.
No, he doesn't.
Boring.
Nothing. Yeah. No. No identity whatsoever.
No.
I mean, in Albanian, had some identity,
had
I guess.
Yeah.
Now it's... Oh, no.
Oh, man. Just you got to get these. You got to get them. Is this a non-qualifier?
I think we need to do a deep dive into that at some point, like the semifinals. What's like certain qualifiers and what are not? And I mean, there are not many songs that won't be in the final this year. There are not that many countries. So, I mean, I mean, there are five in each semifinal or something that's going to be out.
Right.
So,
okay.
But yeah, sure. I mean, more a borderline non-qualifier than the other way, I would say.
Yeah. I just, very forgettable.
Yep.
Oh, well, I mean, compared to last year and the year before, this is a bit disappointing, yes. I'd say.
Me too.
Yeah.
Not one of the best.
I think we can move
on. Leave them.
Yep, so moving on from Albania to Azerbaijan.
Azerbaijan.
Yeah, that too. Now, Azerbaijan, last year, one of the worst. Just terrible.
Oh, the twins.
The ginger
I
twins.
I forgot about that they sent twins last year and we're just doing it this year.
Yeah.
It's like we're mimicking them. They just had an interview this week when they told that they think that they didn't qualify because they had sex the week before. Because their voice coach had told them to not have sex for 4 weeks. Not with each other. I don't think so. No, they couldn't. There was... They were not allowed to do any self-gratification or with somebody else. They were told. Right. So that was an interview this week.
Mm.
Or, yeah, last week.
Do you... I mean, you know...
They also famously said afterwards that they thought it was just... You had to sing about something political or be very LGBTQ positive to
So which
winning.
One did they go for? Because it was...
No, they were nothing.
Had no identity.
No, that's why they went out. That's what they said, that it's no use to be there because you can't when you blah, blah. Excuses.
And
they were quite nice when you met them, I'd say. I mean, I met them.
I mean, yeah
but,
sure.
I mean, now they sound like homophobic assholes, but maybe that's something you need to... sound like when you live in Azerbaijan.
And also, if you're on the internet in 2024, it's, you know, Andrew Tate's of the world.
Yeah,
this is the way
exactly.
It's going.
Mm. I think they have a lot of pressure to make it to the final from home. And when they didn't, they need excuses. And a lot of shit they got was because they looked too effeminate. And then I guess they had to just made things up. So it's a horrible... I wouldn't say it's a horrible country because I've never been there. I didn't went to Baku when the contest was there. But... it is maybe not my favorite country in this contest.
So will they be, you know, going the opposite way this year and sending some really hard-looking skinhead just to make sure everyone knows it's a man?
Yeah, of course.
Or a lady with big boobs?
That could, yeah. But it's the first option.
Okay, right.
Yep.
So who are we going to check out from Azerbaijan? His name is Fari? Fari?
Not far away from that. Yeah, we're going to check out Fari featuring Ilkin Dovlatov. And for the first time in Eurovision history, we're going to hear Azeri language in this contest.
Wow.
They've been singing in English every year until now.
And how many years is that? How long have Azerbaijan been around?
They've been around since 2008.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's quite the...
For a long time, they had amazing... scores in this contest, but there was a bit of a controversy that they might have bought their votes. Mm. So there's a lot of controversy about this country. But yeah, they also famously used Swedish songwriters for years and years and years. But this one this year, it's no Swedish songwriters, and it's in English and in Azeri. Is that their language?
Azeri. Yeah, sure. Hmm? Okay, so just, having a quick look at their wiki page. So they've won in 2011.
Yeah, horrible. So maybe one of the worst winners ever.
Wow.
Yep.
How would you compare this to Diggle?
I think maybe this is worse.
Wow. Okay.
I think the same. I mean, at some point we'll do like a top five
worst winners
I don't like.
Yeah.
And none of them are the worst.
Okay.
There is one. Mm. Mm. But yeah.
2021, Mata Hari, that's a song that's come up before when we talked about famous names of people.
Yeah.
And I like that song. That was a good song. I like that one that year.
They have one of my absolute favorite songs ever. The second one they competed with, which is called Always. I still have it. I actually Swedish.
Okay, let's check out Fari featuring Ilkin Dovlatov with their song. Let's see what they let's see how they pronounce it in the song. It's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, his voice is a little bit Rick Astley-esque. It's it's never going to give you up.
Fresh reference.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
From Mr.
You know me. You know me. talk about high production quality on the video we just watched. I don't want to say this is low production, but two things. They're clearly just in a room with a spotlight.
Yep.
And the guitarist has a Squire guitar, which is like the cheap version of a Fender. I mean, this is like nerdy guitar things, but and then the DJ over there, it's literally just someone's hi-fi speakers on a table.
Yep.
Like that's not, they're not like studio speakers or anything. It's just a bit, I don't know, a bit Azerbaijan, I guess.
I have three things I guess to say about this. First, he can actually sing in English. You should have. There's been so many artists from Azerbaijan, and you can hear that they have no idea what they're singing. Like they have no idea about English, and when you meet them, they can't speak a word of English. Right. They just learned, and so they can't like pronounce it. Which is, I mean, it's fine. Not everybody needs to, but sing in your own language.
Yeah.
So the interesting thing is when they actually do, they have a guy who can speak English and sing English. Which I think I also love the strings. I think they are smash. That's like my kind of strings. Beautiful.
Mm.
Then this waiter guy comes in and do this thing. Yeah. I mean,
I'm
going to
guess
moustache.
That's Ilkan Dovlatov. Yeah.
Do this sort of folklore. Yeah, it's a glorious moustache.
Yeah.
But it's also some folklore element into it, which makes it all a bit more Middle Eastern, which I think is interesting because they are very close. I mean, they are more Asian, Middle Eastern than they are European geographically. I mean, there are many things I like here, and still it doesn't add up to be perfect or good or something.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is, because I love this so much more than the Albanian thing that we just listened to.
Yeah.
This has so many more interesting things. But it's still, it's just, I think I could listen to this, but I think it would be quite forgettable if they don't do something splendid on stage.
I try and help you out here. Think about France this year.
Mm?
The powerful French ballad sung by a man with a great voice.
Mm?
And then this, it's like your Rick Astley-esque with the waiter. It just doesn't have that je ne sais quoi, as the French would say. It doesn't have that extra little razzle dazzle. I think it'll qualify, though. I think it's really good.
Yes, like, I think
as
so too.
A, you know, as
a
performance.
And it doesn't disturb me at all. I think it could be nice in the final, but it's if they do a remarkable thing in his great life, it could do something.
Yeah.
Because it has, I think it has element that people will like, strings and the ethnic vibe of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, it's fine in a year where fine is, you're not going to be top 10 with fine.
Exactly.
You need to be exceptional or weird.
Yes.
Greece.
100%. Moving to their neighbors, maybe.
Armenia?
Yep.
Let's go to Armenia.
Let's go to Armenia. And so they are at war. They have been so forever.
Okay.
They famously can't vote at each other. So they usually, the Eurogroups put 000 because they are like, It's a Palestinian-Israel kind of relationship.
Okay.
They, one year, some, they put people in jail for being voting for Armenia in Azerbaijan, for example.
Wow.
Yeah. So, it's not much freedom of speech in these countries. I don't think it's, I hope it's not that like that anymore. I think some small points, because that there were people pointing it out that it was so weird that every year they put them, they rank them last, because, you know, the Euros rank their songs in the final from worst to best.
Mm.
And it was always like that. So, I mean, talk about like differences this is a very infected relationship between these two countries.
Mm.
And I don't know much about it, so I'm not going to say much about it, but they are not friends.
Okay. Armenia in recent years, I can't off the top of my head think of who they sent last year. Oh, Future Lover. Holy smokes. That was a great song that year, in my opinion. I really like that.
I like Future Lover also.
Now, looking back, that was a very start-stoppy, what is the genre here? Because it went from this lovely ballady sad girl song to this hip-hop like, now I'm gonna say that, you know. And then they threw a dance break in for the real one. But the more interesting thing recently from Armenia is Rosalyn.
Yes, Snap.
One of the biggest songs
ever, the second most listened to at Spotify. And from yesterday, actually, Loreen is number 3 with Tattoo. They surpassed Måneskin now.
Okay.
Or she surpassed Måneskin now.
Yeah.
But still, Rosalyn, Snap. I mean, she was number 20 in the final.
Yeah.
And still managed to be the second. That's TikTok for you.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's just the chorus had a very TikTokable kind of message about Snap 1-2, you're gone or whatever. And so it's a huge, huge international hit after Eurovision.
Yes.
Having finished 20.
Really great. Good for her.
Yeah.
And it's very good for the contest also that somebody can end up 20 and then be so big and make money and be a
absolutely.
Star.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a launching pad, I guess, in a way. But terrible staging. If you don't know if you remember, it was really bad.
I think they had an idea.
Yeah.
But it, I mean, and yeah, that year also many things didn't work on stage due to reasons.
Yeah. So this year they are sending an act called La Daniva. With a song called Jaco.
Yep.
Jaco. So let's check that out. So how do I feel about this song, Ken?
I think you love it.
Of course I do. I mean, this has got a lot of elements that I like. Very folky, you know, obviously they've got the trumpety thing and the little flute in there. So it feels to me as a British person, this feels Armenian. I have no idea, but, you know, feels very authentic.
They're a French group.
So right. Okay.
Yeah, but she's Armenian from the start, but they're actually from Lille in France.
Okay.
So that's where they live and they are folk music group.
But he looks a bit French. That means,
okay. French.
I mean, when I first saw this video, this isn't the first time I watched it. I was like, but a guy playing a trumpet, Epic Sax Guy, did he have such an impact on this that every year someone has to have a guy playing a brass?
I don't know. I guess it's that he's like the instrumentalist in this group and she's the singer and that's how they work together and they need to have a way to put him on stage and give him something to do. I mean, so he plays the flute and she's stroking the cock.
Cockerel, to be clear.
Okay.
I mean, songs with dance breaks and this is a song with a chicken stroking break.
Like, but it's also very much the thing that's on point right now is probably when she like screams out to the audience, la 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 la, and they're going to answer back.
Right.
That's very much like where you are right now in Eurovision, like getting the audience in the song.
In the biz, we call that call and response.
Okay. you're musical people. I don't like this as much as I think I should.
Okay. I think this will grow on you.
Maybe. The thing is, I think the like first 30 seconds, I'm like, this is something. I mean, this is going to be one like, you know, when I show you Moja Stikla from Croatia, like some episodes back, like this kind of, this is the song this year. It's very folky, blah, blah, blah. And it goes nowhere. It's la, 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 la all the time. It's like, it's very linear.
Okay.
And it's nothing except for that when she's, say it again.
Call and response.
Yes. Then that's, that's when something happened. Otherwise, I just feel it doesn't go anywhere.
I do know what you mean.
So it's also lacking something to be brilliant that I would like. So for me, it's there.
I'm just going to point one thing out. Earlier today, one of us mentioned Benny Hill, and then both of us had the Benny Hill music stuck in our head for the rest of the day. This is that. It's that catchy little. You're going to be humming this later tonight. Like, of all the ones we've listened to today, this is the catchy one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I've also heard it before and I forget it all the time. Every time I hear it again, I think exactly the same. Like, oh, it is good. And then 30 seconds later, no, it's not good.
Okay,
like,
no, fair enough.
So maybe if she's great live. But
I mean, if they are a group and she certainly looks like a performer, I would say...
a groupie, I thought you said, but okay.
No, she does look like a performer. She looks, you know, very charismatic in the video, but we'll have to see obviously the live one. And just with the subtitles there on YouTube, it looks like it was a girl power empowering, you know, they're always telling me what to wear, where to go, blah, blah, blah. Very similar to the
you can say that when she lives in Lille and not in Armenia, I guess.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know nothing about Armenia. Maybe it's a beautiful country. Who knows?
I mean, if that's in Armenia, then it looks pretty good.
Yeah. I hope that's not France. They just pimped up a French house and make it look like Armenia.
Couple of rugs.
Couple of rugs.
Chicken. They have chickens in France too.
But they don't call them chicken. They call them
coq au vin. Shall we get our minds out of the gutter and into Czechia?
Oh, yeah. Check out. So I just want to say that when we are doing this podcast and when you probably listen to it, if you listen to it, when it's dropped, we have the old version of Czechia. There will be a new revamped version
coming up. We know that in advance.
We know
so, interestingly then, this date, by which you have to have your song submitted to EBU.
Yep.
But then you're allowed to change them afterwards? Like, what's the significance?
You can, you can probably, they could have released it already to EBU, but it's not like up, the video might not be ready, these kind of things. So they already have the version there. But I mean, also you need a title, you need a song, you can do some things with it. There's a very famous thing about that from when I was younger, when Turkey won. In 2003, the version that they sent out and was in all the previews, that version was okay. And then they let the same guy produce it that did, you know, Kiss with Tarkan. Do you know what that song is?
I recognize the name.
Yeah, whatever. They produce it like that. So when I saw it like live, it was like a smack in the face.
Yeah.
They did something like Glorious with the Turk, and it also won. It's just a great song. So I mean, you can change it up until then, but you can't like change lyrics. You can't change the artist. You can't, these kind of things. It's set now.
Okay, because I guess that's the thing that we learned from the sort of the Israel palaver, that the lyrics have to be approved.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. So the lyrics are approved. The songs.
I guess like a Future Lover is a good example of this. Last year, the song that was, I guess, submitted and that we heard was one thing, but then there was an extended like
dance break,
yeah, bridge that wasn't in the original song. So you're allowed to mess with bits like that.
UK, yeah, UK, I think, with Sam.
They put a guitar solo in.
They put a guitar solo in.
Yeah, which was brilliant.
Mm. Yeah. Sam Ryder. I don't even know her.
Oh. So, Czechia. Last year, Vesna, My Sister's Crown.
Oh, lovely.
Lovely.
Love that.
Loved it. Just a brilliant song. Four languages represented, maybe more.
One of the
like
best
that
I've ever sent.
Yeah. And just a really, you know, and again, this fine line between political, not political, it was clearly, you know, looking at the lyrics, it was about women lost behind in war. You know, and obviously Czechia, a country with a checkered past, not to make a pun, you know, and obviously close to Ukraine and you know, those sorts of things. And they were represent. I think Ukrainian might have been one of the languages in there. Just a really powerful song, really well performed. Just super. Definitely one of my favorites of recent years. Any other highlights from Czechia that people should know about, Ken?
I wouldn't say that's much to write home about from Czechia. I think Mikuláš Josef, 2018, he came sixth. I think that's probably the best they sent before. But yeah, they are. Yeah, there's a lot of bad things there in the list if you check what they've sent before. So yeah, I still go with Vesna and Mikuláš Josef. Mm-hmm. For the, if you want to check out something, that's not a country to do a deep dive into.
Okay.
No.
2022 was an interesting one. We Are Domi. That was the two DJs with the female
singer. Yeah, that's great too.
And that was live. That was one of the best performances.
Was nice. Yeah.
That she hit that like super high note in the bridge or whatever.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's also
that
good.
Was great. That's good. I mean, I'm actually amazed because I've kind of forgotten about that song, but I feel like that would have made it onto some of my playlists. But I will have to revise those playlists. Brilliant. Okay, so now we're going to check out Aiko Pedestal. Now, before we do, this has been on the Spotify playlist for a couple of weeks, but we do know that they are sending
something else.
Like, how different do you mean? Like,
we have no idea. I mean, we will know that in a couple of days. So, how much they can have done anything.
So it could be a different song.
No, it's the same song.
Oh, right. So this is so the lyrics and the song and the artist.
They kind of changed their production a lot,
right,
or it could be very similar as Malta, that they just like amped up and did some better production, put more money into it.
But let's check it out. So this is Aiko Pedestal.
I like this.
I fucking love this.
It feels like something that we could very much unite in. It's British 90s kind of rock. I mean, yeah, I'm just super afraid that they destroy it.
Yeah.
And I know they are like third last in the odds, so people are not reacting to it at all. They know that they're probably not going to be in the final. So I hope they don't like do it into like a dancey kind of, I mean, they can do whatever. So what I've said is that this version will exist, but there would also be a Eurovision version of this song.
Right.
So it could be, I don't know, it could be anything. But I love it like this.
It
doesn't sound like anything else this year also. I mean, it's
just classic. In a sea of 90s dance, now we've got 90s Britpop.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
this is it's there's so many things it reminds me of, and I can't put my finger on any of them, which is good. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. I can't immediately go, oh, it sounds exactly like that. It's like a combination of things. But there's a little bit of like the Cardigans in mm-hmm. there. Like you know.
Yeah, Cardigans is a very good thing. Yep.
But her voice reminds me of Lana Del Rey, and there's no higher compliment. If that's what you're going for, like to sound mm-hmm. like Lana Del Rey is as bad as good as it gets. I love the production in the video, like she's clearly very cool, modern mm-hmm. looking. Like, yeah, this has all of the ingredients to be a success. I have no idea why people aren't reacting to this.
I don't know either, right? So I have no idea actually either. And well, this, I mean, of course, it's not going to win in any. I mean,
look,
no.
This could be the Rosalind of this year. This is the sleeper that goes on to be a bigger song than the others.
I don't know. I just think it's a good song. I don't know if maybe it's not very where Eurovision is right now. To be able to make a mark.
I mean, that's the thing. When so many artists are trying to be your Ariana Grandes and, you know, like that, this is like the chorus, different from like the other bits. The chorus is like No Doubt or, you know, like that, like girl power, like...
Yeah, I have actually no explanation either why it's so forgotten. Maybe because they selected it so early.
Right.
And it wasn't like...
We haven't talked about it until now.
Exactly. They selected it super early. And it's very much not like a Eurovision... I mean, it doesn't have anything that the Eurovision fans nowadays like. Like, it's not in their language. So it's not in Czech. It's not a weird start-stop song. Mm. It's not changing genre in the middle of it. It's just like very much like the UK song, actually, but completely different genres.
Something...
Like a pop song.
A traditional good song.
Yeah. And it's also maybe a bit hard to present it. So let's see what they do. I hope it's not her in a band because that never works.
Would they literally just put her on a pedestal, do you think?
Oh. That's why you don't get paid to do the, the stage shows. But yeah, sure, they could.
Call me. I'm available.
Put her on a stick maybe and throw her out of space. Yeah.
She can be the fourth olive. Listen, I mean, who knows? Who knows why? But I hope that people latch onto this sometime soon because I think it's great.
It's a Deskmate favorite, at least we can say.
Yeah, yeah. Official stamp of approval.
Yep.
The Deskmate sleeper of the year.
And maybe put some money out, then we can get 251 times back.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
put 1,000 on that.
Yeah, I've got 1,000 euros going.
Or maybe you have to put like... I would say put 1,000 on that and you can buy yourself a house. No, you couldn't do that. No. You could even buy yourself a sandwich in these days.
In Czechia. Now, we've heard every single song, Ken, pretty much, you know, with the exception of changes that might come. We've heard a song from every single country now.
Mm-hmm.
Very briefly, how do you feel?
Overwhelmed. No. And I think it's an okay year.
It's a great year.
It's an okay year.
Oh, you.
Downer.
Well, we criticize every year and they're like, it's the worst year ever. But like.
It's absolutely not the worst year ever. But it's interesting because it doesn't have a clear winner. So that's nice. It has like a lot of top. But then it's also a lot of. Middle of the road dish things. And I put Sweden in there too. It's like a lot of things that's there and it's fine. Mm. But I mean. You understand what I mean? I'm always thinking about myself watching rehearsals. Like I'm going to watch all these songs rehearse and how many of them I'm like excited right now to see. Like, oh, I wonder what these are doing on stage and things like that. And 10, 15 out of them. But I mean, there's like 37. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe that's the thing every year. I wouldn't say it's a great year. It's a good year.
Okay.
Hmm?
I mean, this is the first year, obviously, I've had to be so... critical of things because obviously we're doing this podcast, but I feel like it's a really good year. There are definitely songs here that I will continue to listen to for a long time.
Hmm?
So I'm very happy as a Euro.
You're better at listening to these songs than I am.
Yeah, because as you said in a previous episode, as soon as Eurovision is finished, you stop listening to the songs, and you know whatever Kylie puts out is the next. Should we just very then briefly, now that we've got all of the songs, should we briefly revisit the odds and just see what the movement has been? So Croatia standing firm at the top?
Yeah, they've been going ahead. I mean, they were neck to neck with Ukraine for a long time, but now they're quite a bit in front of Ukraine.
Yeah. And so Ukraine standing strong in second. And look, as time goes on, that song grows on me more and more and more, because it didn't wow me when I first heard it. I still think it's lacking something, but I definitely like it.
Yep.
I wouldn't put it second. It's not, well, no spoilers. We'll do our top 10 in a future episode closer to the final. But I don't know if it's in my top 10.
Okay.
This year.
Interesting.
So, you know, but it's good. Mm. Italy in three.
Yep.
Yeah, brilliant.
Solid
song. Yeah. Yep. So Switzerland at four. That's an interesting one.
It resonates with a lot of people.
Yeah.
The drum and bass things, the weirdness is not too weird, but it's weird enough to be like the weird song of the year. It's a lot of things.
There are a couple of contenders for weird song of the year. And the next one, obviously, at number five, Netherlands, Europapa.
And that's also turned into like a phenomenon.
Phenomenon.
That's also turned into a phenomenon. Phenomenon.
Yeah.
It's enormous in Central. Like, they're called Central Europe. That's Belgium. Yeah. What do they call, like, Belgium, Holland?
Continental Europe,
continental,
I guess.
Okay, yeah. So, it has some clear buzz. So
Yeah, absolutely. Belgium at six. This is the one that really surprises me the most out of the top 10, because I listened to this again with a more critical ear. And what I would say about this song, I like it. Let me just start there. I like this song. Mm-hmm. But when you finish listening to the song, you go, wow, that was a great song. You know, because it has such a big finale. It's this big crescendo.
100%.
But when you put the song on, for the first minute, you're going, which one's this again?
Yep.
It's so like, it doesn't go anywhere for a minute and a half. And then it's like, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, shit, this song's amazing. So when you finish listening to the song, you're like, wow, yeah, Belgium. Mm-hmm. But
very unusual in this era of TikTok that you have that, because now everybody like starts with the chorus. Like, people need to be, they have an attention span of like a 3-year-old. Everybody is like that. It's like, ah. So, yeah. But I guess maybe that's the trick. Very, I have no idea.
And
but
then you love to see it. Number seven, Greece. Yeah, coming out of nowhere.
The huge rocket from last week when it showed up. I'm amazed, but I also love it. And I understand why. People think it's weird, but authentic. It's also a country. I mean, who doesn't like Greece? Who doesn't want to go to Greece? So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, yeah, look at it.
Come out of nowhere. So it was 19th in February, and now it's 7th. Yeah. So that's
well done.
Really interesting. Great. But I mean, we both gave it a big thumbs up last week. So Israel at 8th, which I think is interesting because the song is so dull.
Yeah, we didn't like it anyways.
There's not much to say.
Not much to say.
And both of them are pushing, so Israel and Greece both pushing Sweden down the odds, because Sweden, I think at one point, was like fourth.
Fourth, yeah. I think we always turn out quite high, because we usually send things that end up high in the scoreboard. We also send, things that can win. I mean, let's be honest, we will not win. And the odds are a prediction of what can win. It's not like, it's not a prediction of Sweden will end up ninth.
Yeah.
Because if it was that, it could be, that might be good for us. We will end up ninth. That's not what this is. It's like they are the ninth most likely to win, according to the odds. And that, I think that's bullshit, though.
Yeah.
Sorry, but we are overvalued here because being Swedish. And because, I mean, also, whatever we had sent, and I know that I'm okay with Marcus and Martino, so I'm not super negative, but you never win at home. It doesn't happen in modern Eurovision anymore. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, yeah. And then the only other two I want to point out is, I think it's interesting that Ollie, United Kingdom, is at 12, which feels low based on not necessarily the song, but just on the fact that the United Kingdom are taking it more seriously and they're sending a well-known name. Mm-hmm. I would have expected it to be higher.
And it's also United Kingdom. Famously, they end up quite low. They are just in the final. All these kind of things that have not been... And I guess they had like... Last year there was such a like push for their song, and then it turned up to be not at all what people expected. Now I think it's the other way around.
Mm.
And
then the other one I think worth mentioning is Gotha at 14, because a lot of what I see, fans talking on the Reddit, on their Facebook groups, a lot of people have them in their top three.
I think they're undervalued, if I say.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Every time, I mean, and as I said before, this is not my song at all. I never listen to it. I don't have it on any playlist. But every time I hear it, I'm just, yes, like, I understand that this will be, a lot of people will vote for this.
Yeah.
Because it's, very authentic in its genre.
So none of the songs that we've listened to this week have broken the top 10.
Nope.
And so they haven't really moved anything at the top. The highest of them is Armenia, which I'm happy to see, because I would say of the ones we listened to today, that was my favorite. Mm. So,
yeah.
No, actually, no. I would say, sorry, Pedestal.
Pedestal, and that's...
That's almost dead last.
Death 35.
Yeah. Okay. That feels like a good place to end.
Yeah. Sure.
So, until next time, if you want to get in touch with us, but bearing in mind, if you do, we won't be recording again for 3 weeks. But if you wanted to, you can message us on Instagram. You can email us at deskmates@gmail.com. And you can reply directly in the Spotify app. So until next time.
Mimikatz, please mail back.
Thanks, bye.